Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Irate Minority. It's good to have everybody here. Been a long week. As usual, I am horribly unprepared, but we will power on through and talk about a little bit of what's going on in the media. As usual, I will probably poop all over the banking system and the corporate elites and the way the media is just full of bias and distraction. Pretty run-of-the-mill here at Irate Minority. I had some tests to take this week, so did some studying and, the family deal and all that. So as many of you know, I mean, it is pretty par for the course. You know, you get to your days off, and those days off are consumed with all kinds of work and very little play and fun. And, you know, part of that work is preparing for the show every week, which I do. I don't come in here and just make stuff up as I go. Now, last week, that was a bit of an exception. I did kind of get on here and just blab for a while. But this week, I do have a couple things prepared, and hopefully we'll have some callers, talk to some of the fans, and a couple people said they may be calling in, so hopefully we'll get some calls in tonight and get some good discussion going on. The number to call in is 619-924-9819. That is 619-924-9819. So I guess we'll begin the show talking about what is all over the mainstream news, and that is the attacks in Syria. It's pretty wild. This is something that is very serious because of the far-reaching implications, ramifications of what could possibly come about. This is nothing new. We've had problems in Syria for a while now. There's a lot of issues going on with ISIS, the Obama administration, in conjunction with the Syrian government somewhat, and other countries have been in Syria, and they've been bombing, attacking different locations. The major difference here is that this was not an attack against terrorists, so to speak, that we commonly think of, ISIS. The actions that took place could be construed as terrorist attack. If you think chemical warfare attacks align with terrorist activity, which they do. I mean, it's definitely a fear motivation. It's terrorist activity in that way. But this was allegedly perpetrated by Bashar al-Assad, the president of Syria. And going on that information alone, our president decided to launch somewhere around 56, 59 cruise missiles into Syria and blew up an airstrip that is apparently where these chemical weapons were launched from. Now, from everything that I have researched so far, we don't know for sure who ordered these attacks and if, in fact, it was sarin gas. Now, we have a lot of reports of choking, foaming at the mouth from these quote-unquote eyewitnesses that were on the ground. But, unfortunately, the president, and when I say the president, let me just issue a disclaimer here. I in no way believe that it was a unilateral action by the president. I think he had some of these war hawks in his ear in Congress, such as John McCain. I'm always going to throw out John McCain's name because I find him to be just an evil man. He is a relic of a different era, and I think, and this is, you know, going off a bit here, but I do believe that John McCain has some really deep-seated issues, which is understandable because when you're locked in as a prisoner of war for an extended period of time and tortured, you're going to have quite a different view when it comes to global policy and international politics and war in general. I don't have to tell you that he is a war hawk, and if you don't know what that means, it simply means that he is looking for any excuse to enter America into any kind of war, And it's not just, I think, because he enjoys war and wants to, you know, exact revenge in some kind of way for his maltreatment, mistreatment, imprisonment that he experienced. But I also think he has direct ties to moneyed corporations such as Halliburton. I don't have to think that. It's evident. There's clear evidence. I don't have anything here with me, but I don't feel it necessary to quote any sources because you can very easily look that information up. He is directly tied to Halliburton and other weapon manufacturers, and there is a whole lot of money when it comes to that. So, you know, President Trump, from what I've seen so far, has a penchant for listening to people around him. And by that I mean I don't think that he's just, you know, asking for advice and then acting because he doesn't know what to do, which may be part of it. But I think that he is eager to establish himself as powerful and as very presidential and tough on well, anything. And I think that he saw this as an opportunity to flex his executive muscle, so to speak, and he seized it. So a lot of people are concerned as to whether or not this was legal. Regarding that, we can look at the War Powers Resolution. This was passed by Congress in the 70s, right after Vietnam. And now I am paraphrasing here. I don't have the War Powers Act resolution pulled up here in front of me. But basically what we have here is you can only attack another nation is if there is retaliation going on for being attacked yourself, or if there is an imminent threat. And if you satisfy those, then it is legal, so to speak, to attack another nation. Now, if you look at it that way, then no. It is, according to international law, no, it is not legal what we have just done. It's nothing new. I mean, it's not just, you know, Trump. It is the Obama administration, the Reagan administration, the Clinton administration, the Bushes, W and H. I mean, it goes throughout history. And there is a caveat within the War Powers Resolution that states if we go in and begin hostilities, the president must rescind or pull back those troops within 60 days if it hasn't been approved. So basically we're saying, okay, yeah, you can go in and do this if you satisfy these requirements based on international law, which is the Security Council of the United Nations. If, you know, you go ahead and jump the gun and you do this, then, you've got 2 months to bring it back in because, you know, after 2 months, it's just ridiculous. So, you know, we've got a real issue here. And let me be clear. I do not in any way advocate using chemical weapons. I think that any action like that needs to be dealt with immediately and harshly because there are very clear international laws in place. It's a crime against humanity, okay? It is a horrible, horrible way to die. It is unnecessary. And, you know, if someone is committing these atrocities, then they need to be dealt with. However, I think that, you know, especially in President Trump's position, given that he is a new president, we're still within the 100 days, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, he has a whole lot of issues right now with the public's perception of him as a president, his ability to lead. And you know, I think that this could have been handled a lot differently. And I think mainly what should have been done is an investigation. Now, let's play devil's advocate and say, all right, we didn't act, and then more people get gassed, and all these other people start dying. Okay, 250,000 people have already died in Syria. Okay, there's a civil war going on here. And you know, this happened under Obama's watch. It's not something new. Now, I'm not saying, well, what's 30,000 more, okay? I don't want you to think that that's what I'm insinuating here. What I'm saying is that this isn't exactly something that just happened and, you know, it took everybody by surprise, okay? No. And if you are surprised by it, you haven't been paying attention. Now, what we need to look at here is the way that the United States is viewed on an international stage, A, and B, the way that President Trump is running his administration. Because if you're not following international law and you're stretching the meaning of our own Constitution, those aren't going to be the things that work out in your favor. Now, we do have a lot of people cheering him on, saying this was a presidential act and that he has, you know, really stepped up to the plate and started acting like he's supposed to have been acting. But, you know, a lot of these people also, I would love to point this out. If you are a supporter of Hillary, then you should know you should be supporting the president right now and what he just did. Because Hillary Clinton has advocated this very action not an hour before President Obama ordered the strike. Now, she clearly said during an interview that we haven't been doing enough and we need to be bombing all of so that we can stop him from doing what he's doing. Now, granted, she wasn't exactly talking about what happened, but she is an advocate of this type of action. And I guarantee you that this probably would have been close to the same as she would have done. Because it's within her power, it's within his power, it's within any president's power to initiate this type of action. So I don't think that it's just because it's Trump. I think anybody probably would have done it. And I'm not advocating it because I think there's a real issue here when we don't even know who released those chemical weapons. Now, we can assume it was Assad based on past experiences and what's been going on, but if you also remember, during the Obama administration, we went in specifically for these chemical weapons. And Russia was supposed to have gone in, oversaw all of the disposal for all of these chemical weapons, and no more are supposed to have been there. Now, I would ask you to think about this as well. Assad was getting ready to enter peace talks. So my question is, why would he do this? I mean, he's a maniac? Okay, yeah. But here's the thing. You don't get to become a ruler of a country by being stupid, okay? I don't believe that they just allow people to enter in to lead positions by being totally incompetent. Now, you know, I know that some people will bring up presidents like George W. Bush and others, and granted, you know, there's some lackluster performance there, but and it is hard to argue when presidents say things like strategery, which isn't actually a word, in case you were all wondering where that came from, but Bush was not a total idiot, okay? He's not in all ways, and neither is Assad, okay? And now there are puppet governments and leaders that are propped up, you know, granted, I'll give you that, but I really wonder what the rationale would be behind someone who's already being looked at closely on the international stage to release chemical weapons against his own people immediately before he's getting ready to enter peace talks. Now, he very well could have done it. It's likely, I'll be honest, but I think that we really really made a mistake by not allowing some sort of investigation to proceed before we just pushed the button and sent over a bunch of cruise missiles to decimate an airstrip. You know, it's more of a display of power than it is any kind of effective action. Now, you know, maybe some of you out there feel differently, you know, and if you do, definitely call in. Tell me what your opinion is on this. The number, again, is 619-924-9819. That is 619-924-9819. So I did a little bit of research looking at the people in the country and what's going on in the national community. One of my quotes that I actually thought was interesting is the Turkish foreign minister said, and I'm reading part of the quote here, that if it doesn't continue, meaning these airstrikes, then this will remain a cosmetic intervention, which basically is just for show, okay, just a flex of power. They're not really stopping anything that's going on. I am going to take a little vape break here. Again, brought to you by Vapor Express in Colgrove. Go and see Maggie and Joe and the rest of the crew. They have a great selection of vapes, and they are very knowledgeable. So that's the reason why you're listening to me vape right now. It's just really just an excuse. I just don't want to vape in your ear without some kind of disclaimer. All right. My vaporizer is set to something crazy. Hold on a second here. All right. Okay. Sorry about that. All right. I may do that 2 to 3 more times in the next hour. So, again, if you want to call in, talk about anything, we don't have to talk about Syria. You can bring up anything else that's going on in the media right now, anything of interest. I've even been known to give advice on occasion. So if you want to call in, the number is 619-924-9819. That is 619-924-9819. So, you know, that's basically what we've seen all over the news. It's been pretty crazy. It's going to continue to get crazy. I will say this, that President Trump, during his campaign, made it very clear he had absolutely no interest in getting involved in any other wars, that he wanted to work on America, you know, here at home. And the fact that he has flipped on this and sent 50-some cruise missiles over into another country is alarming, to say the least. Because we do have a lot of work here at home, and we are facing some very serious problems in our country, and one of the major problems in my mind, and a lot of other people as well, is the economy. And yeah, I think it's worthy of note that we have recently passed over the 100-year mark of the Federal Reserve being in control of our monetary system. And I think it's important to bring up that the Constitution never specifically said that any institution was supposed to be created or invented to handle the money in our country. It was supposed to be done by Congress. And 100 years ago, actually a little over, about 104 years ago in 1913, President Woodrow Wilson signed into law the Federal Reserve Act. And many people would agree that that was the beginning of the end. Now, I don't know if it spells the end of our country or not. I think that it quite possibly spells the end of our country as we know it. It will end life as we know it, because we have lived a very comfortable existence for the most part over the past 100 years. Now, that's not to say we haven't been through all kinds of drama and growing pains, civil rights issues. I mean, it's been a long road. It has. And we're just now getting to the point where people are speaking out and you know, basically saying that we're tired of this, you know, that people deserve equal rights and we need to be mindful with what we're doing and the way that we're treating people. You know, we're not there yet. We've got a long way to go, but there's very few places in the world that don't have a long way to go. The Federal Reserve Act was something that was created by what some people call a cartel of private bankers. It was created by a whole bunch of rich people. Okay, that is a fact. About a private banking cartel, I can't speak to that because I don't like to bring up things I don't have factual information for. But the head honcho here, I don't know. I'm trying to think of how I would like to how I would like to phrase this. Well, let's just say this. In my mind, the ringleader of all this were the Rockefellers, okay, and J.P. Morgan, okay? Now, we also have the Warburgs, the Rothschilds, okay? These are some of, if not the richest people in the world, okay? When they talk about the 0.01%, the elite of the elite, that is who I'm speaking about, okay? That is who these people are. These people, they don't view money like we do, okay? Money is just something that is a means to an end, all right? Because the real currency, and you'll see this, hopefully you don't see this, but one day some people will see that human beings are the real commodity. Human beings are the actual resource in which the world runs. We are the oil of the machine, okay? Without the masses, they can't do any of the things that we're doing. But we have allowed all of this to happen. You, me, our ancestors, we have all contributed to what is happening now. And it's the sin of omission, okay? The apathy of our culture, the ignorance, or just plain not caring enough to understand what is happening. And, okay, I want to take you back to December. Go back even further than that. Let's go back before 1913. Let's go back to 1910, okay? 1910, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit here from an episode of the Corbett Report. And I've done a lot of research on this, but he sums it up nicely as far as how this went down. I'll read a little excerpt here, and this is from the Corbett Report. You can find it at www.corbettreport.com, and this is /Federal Reserve, and then another slash. So just listen to this, and this will give you a pretty good indication as to how the Federal Reserve came into existence. We pick up the story appropriately enough under the cover of darkness. It was the night of November 22nd, 1910, and a group of the richest and most powerful men in America were boarding a private rail car at an unassuming railroad station in Hoboken, New Jersey. The car, waiting with shades drawn to keep onlookers from seeing inside, belonged to Senator Nelson Aldrich, the father-in-law of billionaire heir to the Rockefeller dynasty, John D. Rockefeller, Jr., a central figure on the influential Senate Finance Committee, where he oversaw the nation's monetary policy. Aldrich was referred to in the press as General Manager of the Nation. Joining him that evening was Private Secretary Shelton and a who's who of nation's banking and financial elite. We have A.P. Andrew, the Assistant Treasury Secretary, Frank Vanderlip, President of the National City Bank of New York, Henry P. Davidson, a senior partner of J.P. Morgan Company, Benjamin Strong, Jr., an associate of J.P. Morgan and President of Bankers Trust Company, and Paul Warburg, heir of the Warburg banking family and son-in-law of Solomon Loeb of the famed New York investment firm Kuhn, Loeb & Company. I don't really remember who they are, but think of it as Enron. That's probably good enough. Someone just devouring you and I and all of our assets. Anyway, I'll go on. The men have been told to arrive one by one after sunset to attract as little attention as possible. Indeed, secrecy was so important to their mission that the group did not use anything but their first names throughout the journey so as to keep their true identity secret even from their own servants and waitstaff. The movements of any one of them would have been reason enough to attract the attention of New York's voracious press, especially in an era where banking and monetary reform was seen as a key issue for the future of the nation. A meeting of all of them, now that would surely have been the story of the century, right? And it was. Now, where were these people going? I'm done reading from the excerpt here. Where were these people going? They were going somewhere called Jekyll Island. Now, this is an island off the coast of Georgia, and it happens to be home to the super awesome, elite, you and I will never get in, Jekyll Island Club. Now, the members of the Jekyll Island Club happen to be the Morgans. And if Morgan doesn't sound familiar, think about J.P. Morgan and Chase. Chase Bank, okay, that's still held within the Morgan family, okay? Now, we have the Rockefellers. If you don't know who the Rockefellers are, I don't really know what rock you've been living under. But if you don't, look up the Rockefellers, and you'll know recently we just had a member of the Rockefeller family die. The Warburgs, which you may not know of as well, and the Rothschilds. The Rothschilds, those are rich. That's like Richie Rich Rich, Scrooge McDuck jumping into a whole big chunk of coin in his crazy big vault, Rich, the Rothschilds. Now, why were all of these people meeting here? Well, the newspaper reporters who actually did find out about the meeting, they were told that all these people were going duck hunting. But what did they do? They weren't hunting ducks. They were going to draft a reform of the entire U.S. banking industry, and they did it in secret. Take that in for a minute. Leaders of the largest banks, a senator, and the richest families in the world all met at an elite, what we would think of as a country club, okay, but think of like the craziest, awesomest, elitist country club you've ever seen. Okay, nobody gets in. There's not people visiting and golfing. There's very few people allowed here. Okay, this is red rope, red carpet. You're not getting in. Armed guards keeping you out. Type of place. That's what this is. I'll pause here and read the number again. If you'd like to call in, the number is 619-924-9819. That is 619-924-9819. Now, if you're calling in and it keeps ringing, don't worry, I will get to you. Sometimes I don't catch the queue as fast as I'd like to. So I will get to your call. So 619-924-9819. Okay. Now, we're at Jekyll Island, and we are crafting what came to be known as the Federal Reserve Act. Now, there is a really, really good book. It's a guy named G. Edward Griffin, and he wrote the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. And he's researched the Federal Reserve. And this is what he had to say about what was going on, about why this was created and how it was created. So C. Edward Griffin says, what happened is the banks decided that since there was going to be legislation anyway to control their industry, that they just wouldn't sit back and wait to see what happened and cross their fingers that, oh, yeah, everything's going to be fine. We're not going to lose. They decided to do what so many cartels do today. They decided to take the lead, and they would be the ones calling for regulations and reform. They like the word reform. The American people are suckers for the word reform. You just put that into any corrupt piece of legislation, call it reform, and people say, oh, I'm all for reform. And so they vote in. They accept it. Quote, so what they were doing, they decided, we will reform our own industry. In other words, we will create a cartel and we will give the cartel the power of the government. We'll take our cartel agreement so we can self-regulate to our advantage and we'll call it the Federal Reserve Act. And then we'll take this cartel agreement to Washington and convince those idiots there to pass it into law. And basically that was their strategy. It was a brilliant strategy. Of course, we see it happening all the time. Certainly today, in our own day, we see the same thing in other cartelized industries. Right now we're watching it unfold in the field of healthcare, but at that time it was banking, all right? So that is in the words of C. Edward Griffin, and he's right. He's right. So on a cold December evening, in the office of the president, Woodrow Wilson signed the Federal Reserve into law. Now, one must wonder if they knew what they had in for the population for over a century. They must have known that the beast Leviathan they were raising from the fleshy, just typewritten pages of this toxic piece of legislation, those men signing into existence the Federal Reserve was the perfect way for the elite to play the long game and amass wealth and resources in preparation for the war they always knew was coming. Not the wars we see through our screens and consume alongside other forms of media pouring in from your phones and televisions, electronic devices. No. A war for control of the masses, like the old days. Because now we are getting dangerously close to having to turn to whoever can help us when the ship starts going down. Now, if you don't believe we're in for a world of problems, let me draw your attention to a 2008 movie, okay? They made a movie about the 2008 crash, okay? They created a movie that some of the most famous actors currently in Hollywood starred in called The Big Short. Now, the public is watching a movie that makes the corporations look like monsters and how they worked with the government in driving us so far down the hole that we might have to do something desperate to climb out of it. We were 30 minutes away, okay? That's Ben Bernanke saying, we are 30 minutes away, Greenspan, we are 30 minutes away from everything we knew falling apart. There were senators calling their wives and telling them to get as much money as they could out of the ATM because they didn't know if the banks would be open tomorrow. That's where we were in 2008. And that's not me exaggerating. That's not me, you know, getting all amped up and pissed off and upset. That is fact. That is what happened. Now, the madness would be over in a heartbeat, okay? And we'd have some hard times, and we'd go through some struggles. We'd survive. The reserve would get shut down, and we would go back to the gold standard with the stroke of a pen, and that place would shut their damn doors, and it would be over. But I really wonder what's behind those doors of Fort Knox. You want to go in, take a tour? You want to go in and see what the nation's gold reserves are like? Do you want to take a look at the security we've got to make sure we're going to be okay? Well, you can't because you're not allowed to go in Fort Knox, and neither is the president. There's a very short list of people who are allowed to enter those doors, and brother, sister, you ain't on it. There might not be a damn thing inside of those doors. What's inside of the doors of Fort Knox might be nothing more than what the American dollar is based on. Faith. Because that is it. You have got a piece of paper in your hand that might as well be part of a roll of toilet paper. Because that is all it really is, just a fancy piece of paper that ain't worth a damn thing. Now, The Big Short was a very popular movie, actual events, and an actual person who predicted what was going to happen. Let me explain this to you if you're not picking up on this yet. Hollywood made a movie about the government carving out the retirement, the homes, and the lives of citizens. And I'm talking about people who had saved their whole lives. Their money was gone. They made a movie about this, and now we're being spoon-fed a Hollywood picture about the government and the big banks bending us over, taking advantage of what was going on, and we're not doing anything about it. We are like $60 trillion in debt further than we were when this happened in 2008. I don't know what that does to your mind. The country cheers to the burning of their dreams. And you may remember Star Trek, or not Star Trek, Star Wars. Are you a Star Wars fan? This is how liberty dies, with thunderous applause. You and I and everyone else are watching entertainment based on reality of the government ripping apart, dismantling America from the inside out. We received the largest bailout in history under Obama's administration from China. From China. And where did a lot of that money go? Did it go to you and I? Did we get that money back? Because my research shows that had they taken the money and given it to the people, that would be about $6,000 for every man, woman, and child in our country. But no. No, it was given to the very people who created this issue. It was given back to these people. They were bailed out. And guess what? The CEOs, the leaders, the orchestrators were given multi-million dollar bonuses for their role in destroying the lives of thousands, if not millions, of people in America. And what are we doing? We're watching a movie about it. We're eating popcorn and laughing at Christian Bale and Brad Pitt and Ryan Gosling. It was a good movie. I thought it was done well. I liked it.
I didn't bother watching it.
But it's the truth. It's what happened. More or less. And you know, I think that we would do well to remember it's going to happen again. And the next time it happens, we're not going to, what? We're not going to just crawl out of it by the Federal Reserve creating more money and borrowing more money. It's not going to work again. They've already inflated the economy artificially to the point where it's over, guys. Unless we make very serious and real changes, and it may be too late. It may not be enough time to make very serious and real changes. That might be laughable. But I will say this, it is possible to stop the madness. Now, China has been amassing gold more than any other country for the past decade. The amount of gold they have been buying and storing puts everyone else to shame. Now, You may remember something called the BRICS Conference. The BRICS Conference, and I will stop here for a number ID here. The guest call-in line is 619-924-9819. That is 619-924-9819 if you want to call in and tell me what you're thinking. Or got something else you want to bring up and get off of this discussion about the Federal Reserve, please call in and let me know. So China was one of the nations who were going to these BRICS conferences, and Vladimir Putin was another. The main idea behind these conferences, as far as I know, and I might be a little off, but I don't think I am too much, was to create a new gold-backed currency not based on the U.S. dollar. Now, for those of you unaware, the entire world economy is based on the U.S. dollar. It's all done in trade through the U.S. dollar. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that no matter what country you're in, the money you have is based on the worth of the U.S. dollar. So whatever the dollar is worth, so let's say that $1 is worth 100 Mexican pesos, okay? So, and this is not an exact equivalent. I mean, you have to look at cost of living and blah, 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 blah. But let's just say that for every dollar in America, it counts as 100 bucks in Mexico. So that means they're paying 100 times more for products because they're paying in U.S. money. They're paying based on the U.S. dollar. Now, that's very good for America. Okay, if everyone's trading around based on U.S. money, that's beneficial. If we were to move away from that, that causes a whole lot of problems. But I've got news for you. Anything that happens like this, any move to pull away from the U.S. dollar will create a cascade failure. Okay? And this goes for America, Australia, all the major nations. If one of them falls, we all fall. This is a house of cards that has been stacked entirely too high. And as soon as somebody pulls their card out, it comes tumbling down. So what does that mean? What does pulling the card out mean? Well, you have people around the world who have a whole lot of money, the elites, right? Now, they have their money invested in banks around the world. And when they start pulling their money out of the banks, out of their investments, it's going to create a panic because those are large chunks of money being pulled out. Now, there might be enough money to cover these people. They might have enough money to give them what they had put in the bank, what they had invested. But I want you to think about it's your day off, okay? You wake up in the morning, you go to bed, you have breakfast. You leave, you go to the ATM. You get to the ATM, you can't get money out. So you go to another ATM. Can't get money out of that one either. You call your bank. Well, there's a very odd recording from a company that you've never, a government organization that you're unaware of, and your bank's closed, and you won't be able to make any withdrawals because your money is gone. So then you're going to see people going to the store, and they're going to take water, canned goods, rice, maybe flour, sugar, okay? All of those things are going to be gone within a couple hours because the news is going to spread very quickly that the banks are closed and you're not going to be able to get your money. You're going to see your congressmen and a lot of the elites making a run for it. You're not going to be able to call them and complain because they're not going to be there. you know, there has been millions of dollars pulled out of our budget to build bunkers. Mount Hope, I brought that up, and Mount Weather in West Virginia. It is an entirely self-contained city and bunker, and it is for the elite. On 9/11, there was a motorcade of countless limousines headed towards Mount Weather because they didn't know what was going on. They started evacuating government. And that's for something called continuity of government. They want to keep in power the same group of people who have caused this problem, right? Now, we also have, and I'm getting a little off here, but you know, you have the Council of Foreign Affairs, the Trilateral Commission. These are what's known as the shadow government. These are the people who stay in power no matter which party is in power, what the president, it doesn't matter. They are the ones who are controlling our government. They are the puppet masters manipulating them, pulling the strings. Okay? So all of these people are going to disappear because these people have already bought gold, guns, food reserves, and they've stockpiled them all away, or they've invested in one of these many, many bunkers spread out across the United States. And this, you may laugh, you may say it's conspiracy theory, but they're there. Okay, these bunkers exist. It's, you can see, I think it was my test show number 2 or 3, I talked about some of these, and those bunker busters. Yeah. So if you want to learn more, I've got an episode called Bunker Busters where I spoke about some of these places. Now, let's get back to your day, all right? So you go to the store. It's madness. People are pulling stuff off shelves. People are stealing. People are fighting over the last jug of water. I mean, you just sit in the parking lot, and you're watching all this happen, and a gunshot goes off. People start screaming and running around. But the cops don't show up. Why don't the cops show up? Because they are getting their family the hell out of Dodge. They are probably taking all the resources from the police station and making sure that their families are okay because there's no one to pay them anymore. And there's no one to pay you. Now, I'm not trying to scare anyone. I'm not trying to fearmonger. This could happen today. It could happen tomorrow, or it could happen 10 years from now. I don't know, and nobody else does either. They have propped this fabricated system up for over 100 years, and it's now getting to the point where it cannot self-sustain for another 100 years. It's not going to happen. And I want you to understand that you better learn to farm and shoot if you don't already know how. You better have water and food and a plan for when something happens. Because it's not just the collapse of society, okay? It's not an EMP. It's not a solar flare. It's not even a disease, all right? It's all of these things. Because as I've said before, and I'll say a million times again, because this is the most important thing to me and it should be the most important thing to you, any store carries a 72-hour supply of food, and that's just because food goes bad, it expires, they're not going to carry any more than that. Most of your food comes from thousands of miles away from where you are. Okay? It's not just a trip down to the local warehouse. That's not how this works. Let me put it to you this way. Some of the infrastructure for our power lines, for those huge transformers, are backordered for years from China, because it takes years to make them. All right, food's the same way. It takes lots and lots of time to get all of this shipped in, and most of it doesn't come from our country. You need to be aware of this. You need to understand that it only takes a natural disaster, a state of emergency. It only takes a small thing. I mean, look at what happened in New Orleans. I mean, it was madness. And there is a billboard, I brought this up to you, and I'll say it again. There is a billboard that states, the first 72 is on you. And that means the first 72 hours in any disaster emergency is on you to take care of yourself and make sure you have what you need to survive until the state local, federal governments can get to you and give you water, food, support, drag the tree off of your house, whatever it is. And that's just for a localized disaster. Like Katrina, that was madness. It took them forever to get there. And even then, a good job was not done. A fun time was not had by any. Okay, and that's not to take away from any of the people who were there volunteering, the National Guard who was there trying to help and pull people out, military, local police, police from other places. Everyone who went there was trying. But it wasn't enough. And a lot of people died and lost their lives. And a lot of people turned on each other. Now, that was just one area of one state. If we see something like this happen across multiple states, God forbid, the entire nation, we will devour ourselves. Those people you know so well, those friends you have, are going to turn on each other. Because let me ask you this question, and I know I sound like a broken record at times, guys. What piece of paper wouldn't you sign? What wouldn't you do to put food or water in your child's mouth when they're crying and you're watching them waste away in front of your eyes? There isn't one. You can't eat morals. You can't survive on principles. Okay? That is a luxury afforded to you because of where you live in the world. That's it. People out here bitching and complaining, whining, and thinking they're making some kind of huge difference need to wake up. They need to understand that this division is being created to pit us against one another so we're not paying attention to what's really going on. It is mass distraction. That is what's happening. By the way, the number to call in is 619-924-9819. That is 619-924-9819. So, I think that we always end up here, and it's partially my fault because, to be honest with you, this is the most important thing in my mind because the media and I don't, it's not a blanket statement, okay? It's not every member of the media, all right? But it's a lot of them. And the government have been working for a very long time to master this distraction, to get people hooked on entertainment. I mean, look no further than breads and circuses in Rome, okay? It's a way to distract the people and keep them from revolting, okay? I firmly believe these people who created the Federal Reserve knew exactly what they're doing, and they knew they needed to ride this thing as long and as hard as they could, amass as much wealth as they possibly can, all the resources they can grab. And when the thing breaks apart, we're the ones left holding the bill. We're the ones with the check. They went up and went to the bathroom and never came back. And we're sitting at the dinner table with a bunch of empty plates and a bill in our hand. And that is our current state of affairs. So while this stuff going on with Syria, okay, it's important. And I do feel for those people. You know, chemical warfare is so atrocious, and it is a nightmare, and I can't imagine what it must be like to live with that kind of fear. I know the fear I have, and I live in America, and I'm white, okay? I am. You know, and granted, I'm not very, I'm sitting here in my building behind my laptop with a pair of headphones that probably aren't going to last for another week. Okay, I'm not some well-off dude here complaining on his little radio show, all right? I am a lower middle class, maybe middle class. I'm not really sure. Based on the numbers, I'm definitely middle class. I'm not lower middle class. But I am a normal white guy who doesn't have to worry too much about getting a job. I have a family who has helped me out through hard times, okay? I'm lucky, all right? I've struggled and I've been through a lot, but I'm lucky. And I am damn near paralyzed with fear for the future of my children and the future of your children, okay? I care about not only my friends, but I care about the people listening to this show and not listening to this show. I do not want to see our country turned into a nightmare. But that is the road we are on. That is the direction we are headed. And if we don't wake up and understand that this division is so false, it is fabricated. Somebody call in and stop me. 619-924-9819. 619-924-9819. Gay marriage? Are you kidding me? Look, I'm glad if you are religious and you have faith, okay? That doesn't bother me at all, and I'm happy for you. If you are trying to dictate other people's lives based on your beliefs, how is that okay? You're telling me that someone else's decision to marry somebody of the same sex is more important than a bunch of corporate elites carving out the nation's economy and leaving us with no food, water, electricity, and our children starving? You know, the division is something that's not going to go away. I'm not saying that we're just going to hold hands, sing kumbaya, and, you know, come together as one. But it's something we can work on, okay? You don't have to like gay people. You don't have to like black people or Mexican people. But what's the reason to hate them? What's the reason for discrimination? I mean, and maybe because I'm not built that way and I don't understand it. But I really have never been able to understand the mentality that says, I don't like you because of the way you are and the lifestyle you lead. So I am going to dedicate a large portion of my mental power and time to speak out against you based on that. That's insane. I live my own little life in my own little section of the world. I've got friends. I've got gay friends, black friends, Mexican friends, whatever. It doesn't matter what they – I mean, I have all creeds and colors, okay? I don't understand how living in a small corner of Appalachia and still having that diversity where I'm at – how people can find that foreign and have an issue with it. I guess that's just the way that my brain works, and it's hard for me to understand it. But the point is, this division, it can be secondary. Your hate can take a back seat while you use that mental energy and power to go on a tirade about the people who are seriously going to screw up your future and your life. Because Ron and Devin getting married is not going to screw up your life in any way unless you wanted to marry Ron or Devin. Think about it like that. If something isn't going to imminently screw up your life, if it isn't going to affect you in any way other than emotionally, or clash with your ideology, maybe you have other things that could more appropriately suck up your attention. And I'm reading something here. Sorry, give me just a second. I have a friend who is really big on the whole chemical reaction thing, that we are merely chemical reactions, and he's not wrong. And he points out that racism is a learned behavior. It's based on tribalism. It's an easy road for a chemical reaction. It makes threats and woes easily explained. And it's true. I mean, we are geared in a way to be wary of the other. It is a survival instinct. It's, you know, and we are, not something people don't, we're not that far removed, evolutionarily speaking, from our ancestors, okay? We are very, very base creatures with base urges. We have a long way to go. And people say, well, we're not evolving. We're not evolved. Well, evolution doesn't work that way, okay? We're talking, and I love Neil deGrasse Tyson, the way that he explained this is and I assume this is his own, on his Netflix special, Into the Universe, I think it's called, he talks about the existence of man. And if you talk about the creation of the earth, okay, and granted, if you're religious, you may have a different belief system that this will contradict. And if so, okay, bear with me. If you look at from when the earth was created, okay, and I'm talking about when it floated from its nebula over into the gravitational pull of our sun, from that point up until now, okay, talking about when the atmosphere was formed and we started having water and storms and oceans, and then things started to grow, bacteria, the primordial ooze, okay? If you look at all of that up until now, where Pax Baxton is sitting here blabbing into his microphone on his radio show, and you're sitting there listening it, or you're driving in your car, maybe you're working out, and you're listening to the podcast, all right? That is a calendar. So, we'll say it's December because that's the month of my birthday. Okay, so December 1st and 0.01 minutes into the year. Okay, so, and actually it'd be 0.001, whatever. Anyway, from the very first second, let's just go from the atmosphere. We'll say, well, when the atmosphere was here. Until now, we'll say that's 31 days. So each day represents however many thousands of years. We have existed less than 1 second on the last day at the end of that year. So if you look at the whole time the world's been around, it was a month of December. It was here on the 1st of December. We haven't existed any more than the last second of the 31st of December. That's how long we've been here, okay? That's nothing. That is a blink, a wisp in the wind. And it's going to stay that way if we don't make some real changes and get these warhawks and monsters out of their places of power before they destroy us with their petty, idiocy, greed, hate, warlock mentality, ownership of the masses mentality, because that is what this is all about. It's what it's always been about. The power elite, someone being on the top in control of the rest of everyone else. It's always been that way. Alexander the Great, his Mycenaean Empire, the King of Babylon, the Pharaohs, the Mongols, all of them. Look at the whole Dark Ages. It's a bunch of feudal lords warring, trying to amass the most property and peasant slaves to help amass their wealth. It's always been that way, and it's still that way, and it's happening now. But only now there's a whole lot more for us to be distracted by.
The only people we want living like that is the
Yeah. He's got a good point. The only people who weren't living that way were the people we stole the country from. The point is, we are now paying more attention to our electronic devices and the differences we have between one another than the people who are manipulating the system and trying to put us in a place where we have no control and we have to come to them for help. We are going to be reduced to another feudal state with certain elite individuals and corporations in control, and we have to work for them in order to provide and survive. And if you don't, then you die. That's where we're headed at this point. So, again, you need to remember that you have the ability to be prepared, okay? And even if you don't think any of this is going to happen, and I'm just a freaking Looney Tune, that's fine. That's okay. I'm glad you're still listening, all right? Even if I'm just entertaining you, I'm glad you're here. So if you take anything away from this, at least know the first 72 is on you. That's true. That's a reality. If there is some kind of natural disaster, something that happens, 72 hours is on you to keep control, take care of your family, make sure they're okay. If something worse happens, then you need to know you have to be careful, because you need to be able to provide for your family with enough time for them to restore some kind of order. And I hope that it is that way, okay? I hope that whatever happens is something that can definitely be helped and controlled, and we can rein it back in, and everyone's going to be okay. But you can do things like farm in your own yard, okay? You can survive. You can collect silver and ammunition that you can use for trade. If you don't want to shoot people, fine. At least, at the very least, have some extra water on hand, okay? You can get a 32-pack of Aquafina for around $5, and it'll last for a year or so. Grab a couple of those, throw them in your closet, all right? Grab some canned foods and stuff that you like. Keep them in the cabinet for just such an emergency. If you do that, at least you're going to be okay for a little while. Invest in gold or silver or something tangible that you can hold in your hand that you know is worth something, okay? Because the first thing that you're going to be able to use and barter with is going to be food and water, because that's what everybody's going to need, all right? That's what is more important than anything when something happens and you can't get your money from the bank. That all of your money is in digital form, okay? It doesn't really exist. They have estimated that there might be $250 billion in actual physical dollars in the United States. That's it. If you went to the bank today and you tried to, let's say you've got 20 grand in a savings account, go to the bank and try to bring it all out. See what happens. They will not give you your money. You're going to have to wait. And why are you going to have to wait? Because they're going to have to get it from somewhere else. If you bring $100 to the bank, they're going to keep 10 and use the 90 other dollars to invest, to make loans. They only keep 10% of what you put in. That's all they're required to keep. And hell, it may be less than that now. I don't know. I haven't done the research in several years because I got so sick of it. But you got to know that, okay? This isn't stuff I'm making up. This isn't just conspiracy crazy talk, all right? I don't engage in that, not really. Now, I do question, you know, I'm talking about when everything collapses, okay? It will happen. I don't know when, but it'll happen. And I'm not trying to preach like a crazy person. I just want everyone to understand what kind of a position we're in and what you need to be ready for. All of this stuff I'm telling you is fact. If you don't believe me, look it up. shadow banking, derivatives, fiat currency. Okay? These are all terms that apply to your nation and the Federal Reserve. There have been 440-some-odd countries who have used fiat currency. How many of those are still around? I'm going to play the Jeopardy music. It's zero. It's zero. I hope you bet it all. That was a daily double. So, I'll end this as I end most of my shows. I really think that we have a shot at turning stuff around. You know, some people don't believe that. Some people think we're too far gone, and I understand why. I can see the signs. But you need to understand, if you think the person in the office of the presidency is the problem, you don't understand the problem. The problem is the corporate elite who are entangled within the government, and they're manipulating our Federal Reserve System, and they're manipulating the people so that they can gain more wealth and power, amass resources, because that's the end game. That's what it's coming down to. That's what they want. And if something happens, I feel bad for everyone out there who's diabetic, because insulin is created in labs, and it has to be refrigerated. Now, Donald Trump talks about fixing our infrastructure, and I would love to believe that's true, and I hope it is, because that's one of my major concerns, because the way that I've researched it, and if anybody knows differently, call in here at the end of the show. I'll get you on. I'll let you speak your piece. 619-924-9819. But if one of our big, huge power stations falls, they all fall. It's a cascade failure, especially here on the East Coast. A couple winters ago, we were very close because it was so cold and there was so much power being used and pulled in that the whole system almost went down. Okay? You can research that as well. You know what? Next time I'm going to come up with all these links and I'm going to post them into the show notes, because I swear to God, you can research all of this. It's true. I'm not blowing smoke here, guys. It almost went down. And if something happens and it's designed, it's going to happen after a holiday, because everyone's at home, everyone's relaxing. That's when they will come. And if something like that is designed, it's going to happen in the wintertime, because that is your maximum effect, guys. That is when people die from the cold. They die of starvation. Half the country snowed in and can't get out. Again, that may not happen. Who knows? I may just be a crazy man preaching from a small building here in Appalachia. I don't know. But to reiterate one last time, be prepared. Do something for yourself and your family. Get a couple cases of water. Get some food. Every time you go to the store, buy one thing and put it back. That way, at least in any small emergency, you've got enough stuff to survive. Because I don't want anybody out there to fall out when something happens. I don't want to lose anybody because they didn't prepare. Now, I don't have any ads on my show. I don't have any companies that I am promoting. Okay, so this isn't a sales pitch. But do yourself a favor and collect these things and learn some skills. Grow a small garden, okay? If you can grow a small garden, then you have a lot better chance of growing a bigger garden. Get you some seeds. Right, just try it. Just do something to prepare yourself in case something bad happens. That's all I ask. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and cut it short. I have got a whole bunch of crazy things I've got to do. I have a family and a job, and unfortunately, I am nowhere near famous, and don't have enough listeners to constitute a reliable income, but maybe one day, right? So I do appreciate everybody listening in. Try to listen in live. I will be here every Sunday between 6:30 and 8:30. So tune in. I will post the show notes earlier this week so we can get a better idea of what we're going to talk about. I will have a guest or two next week for sure. Have some people calling in. So definitely tune in. It's going to be a really good show on Sunday next week. And for everybody out there, I want to thank you for tuning into the Irate Minority this evening. You can find me on YouTube, Irate Minority. I've got a video posted up there. Check it out. Tell me if you like it. It's older, but the content is still relevant. And look for more. I have a website where I post regular blogs. That is irateminority.net. irateminority.net. Check out the blogs. Leave a comment. If you have any suggestions for the show, email me. Let me know what's going on. Love to have your ideas. And you can also find me on Twitter. That is @_irateminority_. And you can, of course, find me on Facebook, my Irate Minority page. Send me a friend request. Join and like the page. I am Bax Baxton, coming to you from Irate Minority. Everybody have a good night. And remember, that first 72 is on you.